The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Nun Zayin, and we are in the middle of the Amid on daf Kuf Nun Vav Amid Beis. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we learned the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Nun Vav Amid Aleph onto Kuf Nun Vav Amid Beis, where we saw that despite the fact we've been taking for granted that Divrei Shchiv Mira it's not something that all the Tanaim unanimously agreed on. As a matter of fact, there's a Shitas Rabbi Elazar who's mentioned in the Mishnah who holds that we do not say Divrei Shchiv Mira Kichsuvim V'Chim Surim Dami. And if a Shchiv Mira wants to be Mechalik Nechasov, he wants to give away his possessions before he dies, he must do so in the conventional manner. He must do so in the same exact way that a Bari, that a gezinta mensch would do it. The Mishnah said, if it's nechassim sheyesh lamachrayis, then kesef shtar v'chazaka. If it's nechassim she'ein lamachrayis, then it's going to be meshicha. The point is that there's no special privileges that the chachamim afforded the shchiv mera. A shchiv mera is treated like a bari. If he wants to be makneh his lechassim to somebody else, he would have to do it al yedei kinyan. So the Mishnah said, Omrulay, they told him, but there was a maaseh shehaya kachaya that seems to contradict your psak halacha, Rabbi Elazar. Omrulay, they told him, maisa bi'iman shel bnei reichel, the mother of the sons of reichel, shahisa chayla, she was very sick, presumably a shchiv mera, and she said, tnu kvei nasi labiti, she wanted that this expensive piece of jewelry that she had should go to her daughter, not to her son. She died, v'kaimu es tvareh, and the Chachamim said that they keep it based on this idea l'chayra of divrei shchiv mera kichsuv v'chim surim dami. So the Chachamim told Rabbi Elazar that maybe I don't have a raya from a pasuk in the Torah, a drasha yud gomu midah shatayr in the drashas behem, but I can tell you a story, and from the story of the bnei ruchel we see that divrei shchiv mera kichsuv v'chim surim dami. Amar lahem, Rabbi Elazar responded, bnei ruchel tikvar ein iman, may their mother bury them, as if to say that they deserve to die, the mother maybe deserved to be punished, which would seem to be a very ambiguous terror. It says the Gemara, my time to die. Why, first of all, was Rabbi Elazar cursing the Bnei Ruchel? What did they do so terrible? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, Rabbi Yehuda said the name, Bashum, Mekami Koitzim, Mekarim Hoyer, because they violated the Isser Kalayim. They had a field that had Kerem, that had Kalayim in it. What kind of Kalayim? It was a vineyard where they were growing thorns. And this is Rabbi Elazar l'shitasa, who holds that the Isser Kalayim extends itself not only to two different types of plants, but even koitzim, which is something that's not Meichel Adam, even something like that would be included in the Isser Kalayim. So being that they violated the Isser Kalayim, and they must have done it in some chutzpah dig away, some gaifa dig away, it's for that reason Rabbi Elazar went so far as to curse them. He said, "Bnei Ruchel, tikpareim iman." The Chachot Bishleimus says the Gemara, "Karkum Chazi elokoitzim l'may Chazi." The Gemara is explaining the Shita of the Chacham that the Chachamim hold that there is no kalayim by koitzim because the only time this kalayim is something that people keep. Koitzim is not something that people keep. You're not going to have the halacha. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Elazar was of the opinion that there's an iser kalayim even by koitzim. It's for that reason that he cursed the Bnei Ruchel, because they were mekaimei koitzim bekerem. Says the Gemara, Om Rab Chanina, my time with Rabbi Elazar. Why does Rabbi Elazar hold that there's an iser kalayim even by koitzim? She came by Ravio, because in Arabia, mekaimei koitzim is hard to sling malayim. There they used to keep it. So in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, it's true. There, if somebody had koitzim, he'd get rid of it. So it's something that people don't keep. If you don't keep, that's somehow an exclusion from the parasha of Kalayim. But there are places, such as in Aravia, in Arabia, where people did keep it. And that was enough in Rabbi Elazar's world for there to be an Isser Kalayim. Bottom line is, they violated Isser Kalayim. That's why he went ahead and he cursed them. Now, the question, however, is, it's very nice that Bnei Ruchel tikber and imam. He wasn't happy with the Bnei Ruchel. But what does it have to do with this conversation? At the end of the day, we see from these bad people, let's call them, in Rabbi Elazar's world, that divrei shchiv mera kichsuv v'chim surim dami. There was a chesh mishpat dispute between Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham. The Chachamim said divrei shchiv mera kichsuv v'chim surim dami. Rabbi Elazar said not. The Chachamim said, I'll bring you a raya from a story. What was the story? Maisa bi'iman shal bnei ruchel. Where you see that the Chachamim went along with the divrei shchiv mera kichsuv v'chim surim dami. So he told them back, Bnei Ruchel? Terrible people. Oh, I hope they all die. Their mothers should be standing at their Leviathan. Loyal men. That's how terrible they are. That's what kind of punishment they deserve. What's that to do with the point? The point is, could you bring a raya from them that divrei shchiv merak yichsurim lechem surim dami? Or could you not bring a raya from there that divrei shchiv merak yichsurim lechem surim dami? Says the Rashbam, Pashup Shana the Gemara. You have to say that what Belozer meant to say was that being that they were bad people, the Chachamim were very happy to take some of their mother's Yerusha away from them and give it to their sister, who apparently wasn't such a bad person. So usually we do not say divrei shchiv merachik sum lechem surim dami. And based on that, when this mother died, despite the fact that she said tenu kvei nasi labiti, what should they have done with the jewelry? They should have given it to the sons. But being that bnei ruchel tikrin iman, being that they were bad guys, the chachamim gave them a knas. They said, we're going to honor what the mother said as if it's real chesha mishpat. As if this piece of jewelry really belongs, not because it belongs to the Lord, it really doesn't. Because really, divrei shchiv merah is not kichsum lechem surim dami. But to punish the sons who deserve punishment. Why? Because they were mekayim kaitz v'kerem. We're going to give it to the daughter instead of giving it to the son. And where do you find anywhere that the chum have a right, they have an ability, a capacity to take something that really belongs to someone and give it to somebody else? Hefker, bezdin, hefker. So they exercise their right, did the chachamim of hefker, bezdin, hefker, to paskin a hirasha. And to say that despite the fact there was no kinyan, still we are going to obligate this family to honor what the mother said, not because divrei shchiv merak yichsurim lechem surim dami, because really we do not say that. And echad bari ve'echad mesukin, if you want to give something over, even on your death, but you have to follow the conventional means, which is make a regular kinyan. The reason they did it here was to punish the boys. They didn't want the boys to yarshin this expensive piece of jewelry. They dafka wanted the girl to get it. Rashi in the Masechtas Gittin, dafka hazvavam enough. This is at the very, very end of a festa perik. Perik Havevi get. The very end of the first perik of Masechtas Gittin. So this Gemara comes up. Same exact exchange. And the Bnei Ruchala mentioned there, Rashi has a different shot. Rashi says that what the Gemara meant to say was that being that the Bnei Ruchala were bad people in Beis Medrash, the Chacham didn't want to talk about them. They didn't want to deal with them. The story wasn't so vetted out, right? You always have to know when you hear a story, people leave out facts. Story evolves with time. It starts off one way and ends up looking very differently, which is okay if you just want to tell stories. But if you want to bring halacha from a story, then you have to verify. You have to make sure it's authentic. So the Chachamim, when they ever brought a story into a halachic discussion, they vetted it out. They went through each detail to make sure it was 100% authentic, because they weren't going to paskin a shayla based on a maisala. They had to really, really make sure that this was a true story. But being that the story involved people that the chachamim didn't care for very much, people that they didn't even want to mention their name in Beis Medrash, so the story was never vetted out. And that's what Rabbi Elazar was saying. Rabbi Elazar said, "Bnei Ruchel, take brain email. These are bad guys. This story wasn't vetted out. You can't bring me. If this is the only raya you have, that divrei shchiv merak yichsurim lechem surim dami." You don't have any raya. Either way, you're allowed to do a kinyan with a shchiv merah, even on Shabbos. Now, the chiddush is Shabbos. Meaning, of course, it can be koine kinyan mishchiv merah. If shchiv merah wants to make a maisa kinyan, make a maisa kinyan. How does it impact the laws of shchiv merah? So, that's been one of the topics of the daf the last couple of weeks. But the chiddush is even on Shabbos, where mekach u'memkar is aser. It's something you're not allowed to do, but for shchiv merah, you're allowed to do it. And the point is that not only according to Rabbi Lezer are you allowed to do it, where it would make sense you should be allowed to do it according to Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because in his world, the only way a shchiv merah could be mocked to something is with a kinyan. So if you don't allow him to do a kinyan, then there's a real chash that he's going to die. The Shema Titrav Daitoi, which underpins a lot of the laws of Shchiv Merah, is very, very prevalent because he has no way of giving over his Nechasim verbally. The only way he can do it is through a Kenyan. If you're going to tell him, you can't do it today because it's Shabbos, Shema Titrav Daitoi, he's going to be very distraught emotionally, he's going to break down a little bit, and it may expedite his death. Even according to the Chachamim, however, says the Gemara, that you don't need to do a kinyan. Even according to the Chachamim, we allow the kinyan to take place. Why? What's the point of the kinyan? The point is that in his mind, sometimes people see it looking a little more real when they do a Maisa Kinyan. So it's not because you need to do a Kinyan, but it just makes it more real. I mean that it makes it more real, we allow you to do it. Rabbi Eliezer says, B'Shabbos Dvarav Kayyomim. So again, Divrei Shchiv Merak Tichsum Rechim Surim Dami. Stating that, we just saw a Mishnah. Shitas Rabbi Lazar in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar holds you do not say Divrei Shchiv Merak Tichsum Rechim Surim Dami. Now we're going to have a machloik. It's not Rabbi Lazar, but Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says, B'Shabbos Dvarav Kayamim. A Shchiv Merak that is Mechalik Nechasov Alpiv. Divrei Shchiv Merak on Shabbos. You do say Tichsum Rechim Surim Dami. Why? Mipnesh Eni Yachal Lichdev. Because he has no other way of giving it off. Avol loy b'chol. But not during the week. Because during the week, make a kinyan, write a shtar. There are things you could do during the week. There's no reason to rely merely on Divrei Shchiv Merak. Rabbi Yeshua says, B'Shabbos Amru, he could do it on Shabbos, and Kal V'Chomer b'chol. If he could do it on Shabbos, he could certainly do it b'chol. What's the reason? Says the Rashbam. Because we know there's a rule, Kal Aroy L'Bila, Ein Bila Makeves Boy. V'chol She'ein Roy L'Bila, Bila Makeves Boy. So if you could have done a kinyan, then you certainly could be makne it without a kinyan. The fact that it's chayil, you could do a kinyan, you're a roi labila, so then you could do it without a kinyan, meaning ain bila makeves ba. So if you could do it on Shabbos, where you're an ain a roi labila, where you can't do a maisa kinyan, certainly you'd be able to do it b'chayil, where you could do a kinyan. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's a pshara, a compromise. Divrei Shchiv Merak Tichsum Rechim Surim Dami on Shabbos. Why? Because you don't have the conventional means available to you, because you can't do a regular kinyan on Shabbos. On Chol, where you could do a regular kinyan, you will not say Divrei Shchiv Merak Tichsum Rechim Surim Dami. Rabbi Shua argues. Rabbi Shua says, B'Shabbos Amru Kal V'Chomer B'Chol. You're always allowed to just with Dvarim make the Akna go through. Meaning, Divrei Shchiv Merak is always going to be Tichsum Rechim Surim Dami. By the way, Rabbi Eliezer, your logic that it makes sense in Svara that it should work on Shabbos and not work B'chol, it's just the opposite. It makes more sense it should work B'chol than it should work on Shabbos. Because Davka B'chol, where you do have conventional means available to you, so it's Roy Labila over there, and Bila Makavis by Shabbos, where it's any Roy Labila, and Bila Makavis by. Says the Gemara, Kiyotza by a similar machloikis, the logic of it, a similar machloikis you find in a totally unrelated sugya. Zachin la katan, they zachin la gadol. So we all know the rule. Zachin la adam, shalei befanav. What about for a katan? Is there schia for a katan, or is there no schia for a katan? So Rabbi Eliezer says you could be zaycha for a katan, you can't be zaycha for a gadol. Why? A katan who has no way of being zaycha for himself, you could be zaycha on his behalf. A gadol who could be zaycha for himself, so there's no reason for you to be able to be zaycha on his behalf. This is, of course, not halacha. This is shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shua says, the katan amr, you could be zaycha for a katan. Kal v'chomer l'gadol. The logic is just the opposite. You certainly would be able to be zaycha for a gadol because the gadol is roi l'bila. He could do it himself, so it makes sense in bila makeves by that someone else should be able to do it for him. A katan who's not able to do it himself, over there would be necessary for someone to be able to do it. So what's the parallel between the two machlokes? And it's the same exact idea. Rabbi Eliezer says that the chachamim will afford you a chiddush sometimes if you have no means of doing it. So divrei shchiv merak tichsum rechim dami, but only on Shabbos where you can't do a regular kinyan. Zachin la'adam shalei b'fanav, but only for a katan who has no way of doing it for himself. If you can't do it yourself, if you can't do something conventionally, so now we'll give you an unconventional way of making something happen. It's a special privilege that will allow you because you have no way of doing it in the regular way. Rabbi Yeshua says the logic is just the opposite. If I could do it conventionally, I'm a ro'i lebila, then ain't bila makeves boy. Then maybe I could do it in an unconventional way. So b'chayil with the shchiv merak could make a kinyan, it's svara, it makes sense, he should be able to do it bidvarim as well. A gadol who has schia, it makes sense that he should, a gadol could be zaycha for himself, it makes sense that you should say zachal adam shalei b'fanav as well. It just so happens, Rabbi Yeshua argued on a separate point. He said, Divrei Shchiv Merak Tichsum Dami is true on Shabbos as well, and Zachal Adam Shalei B'Fanav is going to be true for a katan as well. But the emphasis of the Gemara is the logic of it. Rabbi Eliezer saw it one way, Rabbi Shua saw it another way. They very often saw the world very differently. Rabbi Eliezer, of course, was from the Talmidim of Beis Shammai. Rabbi Shua, of course, was from the Talmidim of Beis Hillel, and they had diametrically opposed ways of looking at the world, and here it's very core logic that they're arguing. It manifests itself in different halachas, but the logic of it is just two ways of looking at something, and incredibly, they just saw it completely differently. Says the Gemara, Masni Samani, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehudi, the Tan. So we'll see now, the Gemara's going to bring a braisa that's going to bring a machloikis Tanoim, Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda, how to understand this machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So we're going to dig one layer deeper. Rameyer says, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Bechoil Dvarv Kayam, and Divrei Shchivmer as Kichsuvim Vechimsurim Dami Bechoil, Mipnei Sheyach Aliftei, because he could write, Avol Loi B'Shabbos. So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer said, B'Shabbos, yeah, because there's no way of doing it, Avol Loi B'Chol, just make a kinyan. In the Braisa, Rameyer says just the opposite, that Rabbi Eliezer holds, B'Chol he could do it, not B'Shabbos, Yeshua says, B'Chol Amru, he could do it B'Chol, V'Kal V'Chol L'Shabbos, if he could do it B'Chol, he certainly will be able to do it on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is the same. Both B'Shabbos and B'Chol. But in the logic, it's just the opposite. In the logic is, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua said it makes more sense that it should work B'Chol, less sense that it should work B'Shabbos. Why more sense that it should work B'Chol? Because B'Chol, where he could do a Kenyan, you're a Roy Labila over there and Bila Makevis point. It works Shabbos as well. But it makes more sense that it should work B'Chol, said Rabbi Yeshua. In this Braisa, according to Rameyer, Rabbi Yeshua, in logic, is saying just the opposite. That it actually makes more sense that you work B'Shabbos. It makes more sense that you work B'Shabbos because B'Shabbos, when you can't do it yourself, the Chachamim would give you another way to do it, which is Divrei Shchivmer HaKimsurim L'Chimsurim Davki Yitzabai, the same exact machloikis, manifests itself regarding the halacha of Tzchiyah, like the Mishnah says, Zachon L'Gadam and Zachon L'Katan, Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. It's the same Rebbe Eliezer. There is Zachon L'Adam Shleib Afanav for a Gadol. There's no Zachon L'Adam Shleib Afanav for a Katan. Why for a Gadol? Because he could do it himself. So he's a Roy Labila, Ein Bila Makeves Bay. A Katan who can't do it for himself, he's an Ein Roy Labila, Bila is Makeves Bay. Rabbi Shua says, Begadol Amru, it works for a Gadol, Kavachoymer Lekatan. Rabbi Yehuda argued with Rameyer as to what the machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua was, and Rabbi Yehuda had it the way we had it in our Mishnah. The Rabbi Eliezer, holds B'Shabbos Tvarav Kayam, and the B'Shabbos Nation Yachal Lifting, because he has no other way of doing it. Abba Le not during the week. Rabbi Yeshua says B'Shabbos Amru, if it works on Shabbos, Kavachaymer B'Chayel. It's certainly going to work B'Chayel. Again, what's the Kavachaymer? Because Madach Shabbos, where you ain't Roy Labila, certainly on Shabbos, where you're a Roy Labila. Yitzabai, same thing you're going to find. The Zachon Lakatan means Zachon Lagadol, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shua, Aimel, Lakatan, Amr, Kavachem, Lagadol. Either way, the Gemara started. Masnis and Mani, Rabbi Yehuda, he was the Tan of our Mishnah. The Tan of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning this Machloikis, Ramnei and Rabbi Yehuda, in the Braisa that the Gemara just brought, as to what exactly the proper Nusach HaMachloikis was between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, our Mishnah is clearly following Rabbi Yehuda's version of the Machloikis. It's not following Rameyer's version of the Machloikis. Just one ha'ara worth noticing, not even mentioning so much, but at the very least worth noticing, and that is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rameyer in the Braisa, was that Divrei Shchivmera Kichsuvim v'chimsurim dami b'chayil, but not on Shabbos. Ki yoytzabai, zochim l'gadol, vein zochim l'kotan. So we know the halacha of zochim l'adam shalei b'fanav. According to Rabbi Eliezer in the Braisa, aliba de Rab Meir, the only time you say zochim l'adam shalei b'fanav is for a gadol. You do not say zochim l'adam shalei b'fanav for a kotan. And Tosfos asks, why not? Banim Tosfos on kufnun vava medes. Im toimar lama in zochim l'kotan halay zochim l'adam shalei b'fanav. The eish loimar. What does Tosfos say? The kiv on the schia mitam shlichos. How does schia work? It works with the parasha of shlichos. Man de matzi mashvi shliach yesh loy schia. Man de loy matzi mashvi shliach. So says Tosfos that you want to know why, you want to know what the pshat would be that there should be schia for a gadol, there shouldn't be schia for a katan. It's very simple. Schia works mitam shlichos. A gadol who has a parasha of shlichos, he'll have a parasha of zochin la'adam shloi b'fanav. A katan who doesn't have a parasha of shlichos, he's not going to have the parasha of zochin la'adam shloi b'fanav. Of course, this Tosfos relates to a Tosfos, yeshivish a Tosfos, mesechtes ksubis, daf yod aleph amid aleph in the sugi of ger katan. But the Gemara says ger katan matbilin oisai al das bezdin. That bezdin would be megayer a katan. Now, Katan has no das. He has no ability to be Megai himself. But the Gemara says, Zochen la'adam shalei b'fanav. So, Zochen la'adam shalei b'fanav will be Megayer, even a Katan. Then Taiz, not afraid, Taiz, a long Taiz, a very short one. That's a very long Taiz, this. That how could you tell me, Zochen la'adam shalei b'fanav for a Katan? Schiaz mitan shlichos, ain't shlichos the Katan. So, Taiz over there says two terutzim. One teretz Taiz says that it's true. The whole Zochen la'adam shalei b'fanav for a Katan is not midin Taira. It's only midirabana. And even though, for example, in a case like this where you're going to allow a child who's not really a Jew become a Jew midrabanon, you're going to be creating a lot of complications. For example, this child, if he touches wine, could you drink the wine? Can you not drink the wine? Midday rice, he should be able to drink the wine. Why not? Because midday rice is not a yit. Midrabanon, zochel adam shloi b'fanav, even for a katan, he will be able to drink the wine. The chachamim are being oikudavim in a Torah. Says Tosfos, it's true. The sugya of ger katan matpil reisa adas bezdin goes according to the mandamer mesachtes yivamis perik to each a rabba that holds yesh koyach biat chachamim lak yudavim in a Torah bekum vase. What a chiddush! But that's what Tosfos says. Nami Tosfos and the banim Tosfos says a whole nother terrace. Tosfos says a kubit is a difference between a regular schus and a schus gomer. So a regular schos, that works mitam shlichos, that a cotton wouldn't have. But where it's a schos gomer, becoming a yid, ashubach arbonu mikol ha'amim, and us alonu as teirasai. Something on that level of schos, maybe that's going to be different. That could be would apply either to a cotton. So over there, Tosfos starts off not understanding how it's possible to have schia by a cotton. Tosfos over here comes from the other angle. Tosfos, a man domer that holds his no schia for a cotton, what's going on? Loma in zachin l'cotton, says Tosfos, what he thought when he started in Ksubas Yod Aleph Amen Aleph, it's because Schi is mitam shlichos, ain't shlichos the cotton. Aye, how then are you going to answer it according to the man number that holds there is Schi for a cotton? That's that Tosfos in Ksubas, Daf Yod Aleph Amen Aleph, Kiveger, this festa raid. We've spoken about it so many different times. You can refer to Ksubas Yod Aleph, Bav Mitzia Ayin Aleph, I'm sure many other times. Either way, Zach the Mishnah Vayter, Nafal, Habayis, Olav, V'al Ofif. Says the Mishnah. There was a man and his father, they were both in a house, and lo yaleinu, the house fell, and father and son both died. Lo yaleinu, oy, olav, v'al meirishav. Wasn't a man and his father, it was a man and somebody else that he was entitled to yarsh. And this person had a wife to whom he was going to owe a ksuba now that he died. Ubal chayif, or he had an ordinary bal chayif. Yershim of Imrim, and a fight broke out. The Yershim of the father are saying that haben meis rishon, v'achakach meis ha'av. That first the son died, I mean, they don't really know. First the son died, and then afterwards the father died. Ubal yachayif, and the bali chayif are saying ha'av meis rishon, first the father died, v'achakach meis ha'av, and then the son died. Who cares? Why does it matter who died first? It's very simple. This man died, he was broke, he had no money. So despite the fact that he had bali chayvis, there was nothing they could do. There was nothing to collect. But if his father died before he died, then this son just fell into a Yerusha. If he yarshid nechasim, now when he dies, moments later, his wife has from where to collect the ksuba. His bal chayv has from where to collect the chayv. Because hagam, he's not alive anymore, but there's nechasim. Nechasim mishubadim. So whoever is going to end up with the money at the end of the day will now have assets that he yarshin that come along with attached chayvis, with attached liabilities that they're going to have to satisfy. So again, there was a man who had a bal chayv, ksubas isha. He also had no money. He was in a house together with his father. The house comes down. He and his father both died. There's some random person, Yankel, he's going to end up yarshin this whole estate. He's the next in kin in terms of getting this Yerusha. Right now, the Baal Chayiv comes forward and the Baal Chayiv tells these Yarshin, he says, listen, you know, I want to take you to Beis Din because I think that the son died first. The father died first. If the father died before the son, that means when the father died, who do Yerusha go over to? And what happened with Mamela? You don't need a Maisa Kenyan for this. This automatically happens. So the son Yarshin. The moment the son Yarshin, he now has an obligation to pay me. His nechasa become a shuvah to me. It's true he's not alive anymore, but chavis, nova, beshtar, ksubas isha, you could be gaiva even from the nechasa mishubadim. So you took it essentially from my balchayv. The woman is saying, you got it from my husband. I have a right to take now from you what was meshubit to me because you're my mishubadim and there's a real chayv. The Yoshim are saying, I'm not so sure that's what happened. I don't know if that's what happened. Maybe the son died first. If the son died first, when he died without any money. The father died afterwards. It's true. Had the father died first, then the son would have Yarshined. So now it would have been Chalash Shibud on those Nechasim. So now the Baal Chayv can go collect from the Nechasim and Shubadim. But that's only true if the father died first. What if the son died first? If the son died first, he never had it. If he never had it, it was never Chalash Shibud. So who gets it? How do you deal with this? They're tiny, the father died first. He's saying the son died first. There's a whole Shayv over here. How exactly do you work this out? So lo and behold, it's Machlikis B'Shamim B'Sil. B'Shamim B'Yabim Yachliku. B'Shamim say that Loch is Yachliku. B'Silim B'Sil say Nechasim B'Cheskasim. B'Sil is easy. B'Sil says, who's the Muchsik on the money right now? The Yarshan for sure have it. The Shaila is, does the Baal Chayv have a Shivud? Does he not have a Shivud? So, Hamoitze Mechaveroi, Oliver Raya. Beis Shammai says, no, it's not so simple. Because Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Shtar Ha'oimed Ligvois to Gavoy Dami. That if I have a Shtar, if I'm a Baal Chayv or a woman that has a Ksuba that says that you owe me money, if I have a Shtar that says you owe me money, it's as if I'm Muchzik in the money just as much as you're Muchzik in the money. So the way we look at it is as if the Yarshim are Muchzik, for sure, but also the Baal Chayv is Muchzik. Why is he Muchzik? Because he's holding a Shtar, and Shtar Ha'imid Ligvois is kegavoy dami. You're not just muchzik in the piece of paper. We look at you as being muchzik in the money represented by this piece of paper. They're both muchzik. If they're both muchzik, the halach is going to end up being yach loiku. Now this is really a sugya in Perek Acholitz and Masechtas Yevamis. It's one of the more difficult sugyas in a very difficult Masechta, Masechtas Yevamis. The Gemara gets involved here in the sugya of Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei, Ain't Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei. But as far as a Pashup Shah in the Mishnah, I think we did justice to that, and we can begin the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. Tan Hasam. We learned in the Mishnah, if somebody lends his friend money, and there's a shtar that is documenting this chayv. The halacha is the malvus gave him in a chasam mishubadim. If when he comes to collect the chayv, the leiva has no money, but he had certain possessions at the time of the loan. Why does he have no money now? Because he's since given them away. He sold them. He gifted them. He died and it went over Beirusha. Right now, the nechasim are in somebody else's possession. Being that the original milva was a milva b'shtar, those nechasim are mishubid to the schoiv, and the malva has a right to go be goiva even from the nechasim mishubad. Now, well, let's play it out. Reuven lends $1,000 to Shimon. At the time, Shimon owned $10,000 worth of property. Reuven comes to Shimon a year later when the loan is due. He says, you owe me $1,000. Shimon says, I don't have $1,000. He says, what about that piece of property that you had? I sold it. Where's the money? I don't have it. He says, I don't have anything. If it was a milva b'shtar, Reuven can now go to Levi, who bought the property from Shimon, and he can tell Levi, you know, that piece of property that you bought from Shimon, it was b'shuvah to me. He had a right to sell it to you, but there was a lien, which gave me a right to go and take it from you in the event that Shimon wasn't going to have any money. It was a milva b'shtar. Shtar has a coil. You should have known that, Levi. Reuven can go to Levi. He can take the field away from Levi. Now, does Levi have recourse back to Shimon? It depends. We have to pull out the sale agreement and we have to see what it says. It should say something. If it says that Levi is going to have a right to go back to Shimon in the event that a Baal Chayv comes and takes the field away from him, so then he can go back to Shimon. If it doesn't say that, then he won't have a right to go to Shimon. There is a Shittas HaChachamim that holds Achrayas Toy Sefer, that even if it doesn't say it, it's always assumed that the Sefer maybe made a mistake. It should have been there. It was just a bad lawyer, but really, it should have been somewhere in the documents. But the bottom line is that that's the basic halacha of Nechasim Mishubadim. But there's a lumdus over here. And the lumdus is, the reason Reuven's allowed to go to Levi and take the field that Levi bought from Shimon is because the field that Shimon sold Levi was meshubit to Levi. There was some sort of kinyan ke'ilu, for lack of a better word, that Reuven had in this field that limited Shimon's ability to just sell it free and clear. He couldn't sell it free and clear. There was a real lien that was perfected on behalf of Reuven. Reuven had a kinyan, a chalois, something real from a chayshon mishpat standpoint in this field, and that's what allows him to now go take this field away from Levi. But says the Mishnah, that's only true if you malves chaveroi be shtar. If you malves chaveroi be edim, meaning it's a milva al peh, there's no shtar. There the halach is goyvim in a chasim b'nei chayr. You can collect, but only from the nechasim b'nei chayr. You have no right to collect from the nechasim mishubadim. And again, what's the difference? Because the nechasim mishubadim, there's a koil. When there's a shtar, there's a koil. And being that there's a koil, so Levi knows before he buys the field from Shimon that there's an outstanding debt, he knows that there's a possibility that this may play itself out. But if there was some backdoor loan that wasn't documented anywhere, that nobody knows about, it was a milva yudeidim, but it wasn't a milva bishtar, then how's Levi supposed to know? Levi's going to be way too exposed. He's way too vulnerable. So the Chachamim said that Reuven can collect the field from Shimon, but he can't go now and take it from Levi. Says the Gemara, Boy Yishmuel, de'ikni v'kana ma'u. What would be if somebody does a milva bishtar, where the halach is that all his nechassim are going to be meshubah to this loan? Again, what does it mean, the nechassim meshubah to the loan? That if the loiva sells a field, the malva is going to be able to go take the field away from the loiva. What if at the time of the loan, Shimon didn't have any fields? But he wrote in the shtar, he said, I plan on buying property. And when I buy property in a month from now, I want that property to be meshubah to your loan right now. Could he do that or could he not do that? Is that something he has an ability to do? Or is it something he doesn't? It's not going to affect the Lekuchas. Lekuchas aren't going to be affected. Levi's not going to be affected. Because at the end of the day, whenever Levi decides 6 months from now to buy Shimon's field, as long as there was an outstanding shtar, he knows that there's a possibility that Reuven's going to go take the field from him. So we're not hurting the Lekuchas. There's no pseida the Lekuchas over here. The question is a more lumdish question. The question is that being that Shibud works with a kinyan of some sort, it's a real chalois that is chal in this property on behalf of the Malva. And perhaps you could only create a Shibud on something that's ba'olam at the time that you loaned the money. But if the field was not ba'olam at the time that you loaned the money, you perhaps have no ability to go and create the shibud. Says the Gemara, Ba'yishmul de'ikni v'kana ma'o, could you create a shibud in a piece of property that the loifa did not have at the time of the loan? Zok the Gemara, Ali, but there are mayor, dama other makna davish leib aloy, dama kointra mayor that holds other makna davish leib aloy ti ba'yilach. The vaday kana, if I could be makna davish leib aloy, I could certainly be meshabe to davish leib aloy. Ki ti ba'yilach libi the rabbat, the shayel is according to rabbat. The amri who hold ain't other makna davish leib aloy. Do you say that Shibud is different, or is that what's the story that Shibud should be different? So we'll talk about that tomorrow. But for now, the Gemara is going to attempt to bring some rayas to this shayla. Could a loiva be meshabed a dover shaloiba la'olam, or could he not be meshabed a dover shaloiba la'olam? Again, Reuven lends Shimon money. It's a milva b'shtar. That means all of Shimon's assets are going to be meshubed to Reuven's loan. Which means that if Shimon sells off one of his assets, Reuven's going to have a right to go to that loikeach and to collect, take that piece of property from the Lekech. The question is, what if Shimon didn't have this particular field at the time of the loan, and he only bought it later, but he wrote in the shtar, clearly, that anything that I buy at some future date, as long as the loan is outstanding, I'm willing to be meshabed to this loan. Could he do it, or could he not do it? What's the shayla? It wasn't ba'olam at the time of the loan, so at the time that you want to create the shibud, which is the time of the loan, it's not here. Could you be meshabed to davar shloi ba'olam or not? Zok the Gemara, koin tram meir, you could even be machna davar shloi ba'olam. So leiti ba'olach. So this is an excerpt of a sugya at the very end of Masechtas Ksubas. So Masechtas Ksubas ends on a very light note, if you remember. All the Agadot Gemaras that talk about Eretz Yisrael, we learned it Shavuos night a few years ago. Beautiful, beautiful Gemaras. Last two, three daf in the Masechtas Ksubas. But the very last daf before those light daf, and it's a very heavy daf. It's a rather intense black Gemara. And the Gemara that brings Machlokes Adman and the Chachamim regarding a case where there was a dispute between two people. You owe me $1,000. I don't owe you $1,000. You do. You don't. And then we find out afterwards that the Malva who claims that the loiva owes him $1,000, had very recently sold him a piece of property and gotten $1,000 for the property. And the Admon argued that that's checkmate. He just showed his hand. Because basically, if he really had a claim to get $1,000 from this guy, then why would he have sold him a field to get $1,000? He would have taken the $1,000 without giving him the field. So the fact that he gave him a field in exchange for $1,000 would seem to be a raya that he had no other basis of getting the field. Amru lei chachamim, the chachamim told him, no way. It's the opposite. This guy's a soicher. This guy's a smart businessman. He wanted to collect. The problem is, this guy was avoiding him. He told me he had no money or whatever exactly was going on. But he figured he has a great idea. Let him get his hands on a piece of property worth $1,000. Once it's a piece of property worth $1,000, it'll be much easier for him to make his move. The problem is he had no money. He had no character. I'll sell it to you. He got his $1,000. Now he's going to go after the field. See, he's being a seichel. But what's the Gemara's kasha? That if you're going to tell me that you can't be mashabed, it was never chal b'shibud. But the Gemara says a great teretz. Amalei Rava, minei ka'amret. No, you're making a mistake. And this goes into the gut of what we're talking about here. Minei afilu meglimad al kasve. Ki kami bayalach, di ikni kanu machar, di ikni kanu v'hayrishma. He says, hey, you're making a mistake. When we talk about shibud, what do we mean? What's a shibud? A shibud is the taich that I loan you money, your nechasim am shibud to me. And meaning, if you don't have those nechasim now, I can go after whoever has it. So Reuven lent money to Shimon. Shimon had property. He sold the property to Levi. Reuven can go to Levi based on the laws of shibud. But let's say Shimon has property. Shimon has whatever it might be. Of course Reuven's allowed to go after it. What if at the time of the loan, Shimon was worth $10,000. And the $10,000 that he had, he's since lost. Now Reuven comes to collect the loan. Shimon's a great segvir, sitting on millions of dollars of assets. He wants to collect it. Shimon's going to say, I know I owe you money, but you know, I didn't have any of this stuff I didn't have at the time of the loan. So it was like Bala Olam. We passing like the Chachamim. We don't passing like Rameir. We passing the Chachamim. I'm not giving it to you. That's Amaratzis. That makes no sense. Why? Because even if you're going to tell me, but if you have it right now, you got to give it to me. I feel a glimmer al kasma. You have to take your tuxedo off and give it to the malvah. You have to do whatever you need to do to satisfy your obligation. The shail of shibud is only negay if you don't have it right now. That's where it's negay. So in this case, there's no shaykhis. I'm like, Rabbi, what are you talking about? Minei ka amrit? Minei? From the loyvalein, I feel a bit gleaming on Kasper. You take his rekel from him. You take whatever you need to take. Ki kami boil on the whole shaila in the Gemara is where you didn't have something at the time of the law. Then you acquired it, and you've since gotten rid of it. So the only schus that the malva has to take it is shibud. That's the shaila. Was it chal shibud or not? What's the tzad? It shouldn't be chal because ain't other meshabe davar shloim b'loyim. Maybe not. Maybe there's a chiluk between being makne davar shloim b'loyim and being meshabe davar shloim b'loyim. That is the shayla. But either way, you have no raya from the end of ksubis. I'm Rav Chana Tashma. I'll bring you a raya from our mishnah. Bava basra kuf nun zayin. Nof alabayis alaval aviv. Alaval mayrisha vayisalim ksubis yishaval chayiv. Yorshi avayim. What was the case of the mishnah? Case was where there was a man and his father. They were both in a house. The house fell down. They both died. And the question is, who died first? The son had Bali Chayvis. The Bali Chayvis are arguing that the father died first, so the son Yarshin the Chayv. Being that the son Yarshin the Chayv, the Bal Chayv can now collect from the one who Yarshin the son, which is Mishubadim. That's where it's going to come into the Shaila. The Yarshin Matayin, I don't know if that's what happened. I think the son died first. If the son died first, he never Yarshin his father, at least not Michayev. He never let Yarshin his father. If he never Yarshin his father, he never came into possession of money. So there's no one to collect from. There's no Meshubadim. There's nothing here. What's the Shail of Esau? But if you're going to tell me that the only time Shibud is Chal is only on a Davash of Balaylam, on a Davash of Balaylam, Shibud is Nachal. Nay, Nami the Avim Ispiresho. Even if it's true that the father died first, so that the son Yarshin, but right now, where's the Nechasim? The Nechasim is in the possessions of the Yarshim. The Yarshim Amishu Badim, the Iknihu. And he didn't have this at the time of the loan, right? The son didn't have this. He just Yarshim at this second. 12 seconds before he died is when he came into the possession of it. And you don't want to collect it from the son. The son's not alive. Who are you collecting it from? The one that Yarshim from the son. He's no different than the one that bought it from Shimon. He's the equivalent to Yarshim. Ha'av and the Yarshi Aben in this story are the equivalent of Levi in our previous story. You're not getting it directly from the Loiva. You're taking it from the Mishubadim. And you're taking something that clearly wasn't Ba'olam at the time, Elamayat Araya, that even though Ein Adam Makne Davar Shloi B'Loilam, but Adam Meshabe Davar Shloi B'Loilam. Amalu Rav Nachman Ze'ira Chavim Tirgama Mitzvah Li'Yisayim L'Froi Chavis Amin. Don't bring me a raya from here. But it could be it's true. Maybe there really is no Shibud. Maybe there's no Shibud. But at the same time, there is a taina that the Bal Chayv should be able to go over to the Yorshei HaBen to collect, not because of the laws of Shibud. Again, why are there no laws of Shibud? Because it was Leibel Oilam. You couldn't be Meshabedus. But the reason you would have the ability to go over to the sons is because there's a mitzvah, and a more abstract mitzvah, Ala Yisoimim, Lefroya, Chayvas Avim. Rashi says in Ksubas Tzadik Aleph on the days that it's related to the mitzvah of Kibud Avim. We have a lot of raid prepared for this, but we're going to speak that out of Yetz Hashem tomorrow. Maskev la Ravashi Milva Alpehu. Ravashi asks that Lechura, isn't this a Milva Alpe? The Rabbi Shmuel, the Amri Travayu, Milva Alpe, Eine Goiva, Loimen Ayarshim, the Loimen Alakuchais. So that shouldn't be able to work either. Says, meaning, the only time you say mitzvah l'yisoyimim l'freya is only if it's a milva b'shtar. But if it's a milva alpeh, you don't say. Says the Gemara, you're right. Ela ha-mani rameir hi da'amar adam machna dava shaloi b'la'olam. A more easy answer. You're right. The Mishnah is a raya. The Mishnah is a raya that you could be mishabed even a dava shaloi b'la'olam. The Gemara wanted to bring a raya from there, that even though the Chachamim hold ein adam machna dava shaloi b'la'olam, but they hold adam mishabed dava shaloi b'la'olam. So the Gemara, it's not a raya. Maybe the Mishnah is rameir. Oh, and by the way, it's not Mishnah, is always rameir. So maybe the Mishnah is rameir who holds adam machna dava shaloi b'la'olam. Oh, if you hold adam machna dava shaloi b'la'olam, then so too adam mishabed. I'll bring you another raya. So if on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, two people sit down, they're going to write a shtar. If the shtar has to have a date. If the date is muktim, so on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, they write Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they back it up a couple of months, the shtar is going to be pasul. Why is it going to be pasul? Because when you have a milva b'shtar, you can be goyver from the nechasim mishubadim. You can therefore buy or take from anyone that bought from the loiva after the date of the shtar. If you're going to predate the shtar, that means you're going to have an ability to be toyer from anyone who bought field from the loiva between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and that's like it in. Because the whole basis of why you're allowed to be goyva from the Chasam Meshubadim is the loiva knew. There was a buyer beware. There was a skull and crossbones. He knew to be careful. How did he know to be careful? Because there was a shtar chayv out there. That was a cup. But really, here there wasn't a shtar chayv. There's going to be a shtar that's going to suggest that there was a shtar chayv because there's going to be a shtar dated Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But they predated it. So for that reason, it doesn't work. But Mucharin does work. So let's say on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, you want to write Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, you want to move it forward a couple of months. There's no reason because there's no pseudo de la kuchais over there. So there's no reason that that's something you should be able to do. Who's losing out? If anything, the mouth is losing out. Because the any person that buys between the time of the loan and the date written in the shtar, the malva who ordinarily would have a schus to be goyver from won't be able to be goyver from. If the malva doesn't care, he's waiving his right to go after these people, then we're not going to care either. We're not going to care more than the malva is going to care. So shtar chayv mocha is going to be kasha. What does that do with our sugya? If you're going to tell me that there's an idea that ain't other mishabed davish lo b'la'olam, I'm Mike Sherim, why is it kasha? The iknehu. You be mishabed davar shaloi b'la'olam. Because if you're going to be ma'achad the shtar, what's going to happen? Essentially, any property that the loiva has before the date of the shtar, or at the date that's written in the shtar, is going to be mishabed to the law. Why is it going to be mishabed to the law? Because it's going to be understood that this was the day the loan took place. And if this is the date that the loan took place, any karka that he has is going to be mishabed. Here's the problem. The loan didn't happen today. The loan happened 3 months ago. We post-dated the loan. Now, we thought, who cares? What harm are you doing by post-dating the loan? Usually, you think in terms of the lekuchas. There's no pseudo de lekuchas. If you predate the document, there's pseudo de lekuchas. If you post-date it, there's pseudo de malva. He's the only person that's being affected. We don't care about it. But if you tell me there's a new issue over here, there's a yisoydistig issue, there's a lamdisha issue, there's an issue that shibud can only be chal on a dover that's ba'ilam at the time of the loan. But something that's not ba'olam at the time of the loan, just like the Chachamim hold, ain't all the makna dava shloi ba'olam, so too ain't all the mishabi dava shloi ba'olam. So if the loan happened today, and the shtar is written 3 months from now, if something was acquired between today and 3 months from now, should there be chal shibud on it? No, because it wasn't ba'olam at the time of the loan. Will there be chal shibud on it? Yes, because the shibud is going to go based on the date that's written in the loan. So we just found the harm. The thought always was, what harm is there by a shtar mocher? This is something that you find in many places in Shas. A shtar mochtim, oh, that's horrible. That's like the worst thing. A shtar mocher, not a big deal. The only person that could lose that is the malva. If the malva sits down and he agrees to it, nobody cares. So a shtar mocher has never been an issue until this sugya. Because if there's a problem with being the shabbat of Dovah Shalei B'la Olam, every shtar mocher is going to run you into such issues. And since shtar is doch kosher, isn't that a raya that despite the fact that in the makne davar shalei b'la'ilam adam mishabe davar shalei b'la'ilam nothing more, no, it's only a raya if you assume that that mishnah of shtari chayv hamukdam and psulim And the Amucharim Ksherim is going according to the Chachamim. But Hamani, Rav Meir, it's really going according to Rav Meir. The Adam, the Amar who holds Adam, Makne, Davar, Shaloi Ba, Le, Oilam. Amar Amisharshia, Mishmei, Derava, Toshma, Lishvach, Karkois, Ketzad. If somebody sells a field to his friend, this one's a little confusing. So it's going to take everything we just learned and we're going to put it together in one big convoluted case. So somebody sold a field to his friend. So Shimon sold a field to Levi. Why am I starting with Shimon? Because we're going to have to bring Reuven into the story soon. So Reuven loaned money to Shimon. Shimon sold a field to Levi. Right? That's been the... This is my story and I'm sticking to it. That's what we've been talking about till now. So, Shimon sells his field to Levi. V'hishbicha. And Levi works the field for a year. And the field was once worth $10,000. Now the field's worth $20,000. This field's worth a lot of money. And then, lo and behold, Levi's worst nightmare. A man comes knocking on the door. He tells Levi, that field that you bought from Shimon was meshuvah to me. That shtar choy, you should have known about it. It was a milvah b'shtar. I could be goyver from the nechazim b'shuvadim. I'm taking the field away from you. Now, Levi is going to go back to Shimon. He's going to exercise his right to recourse. He's going to go back to Shimon. He's going to tell Shimon, I paid $10,000 for a field. I want it back. When Levi goes back to Shimon. This is Gishmak. Goyves akerem in a chasim mishubar. He can collect the $10,000, his keren, from Shimon's nechasim mishubar. Meaning, if Shimon had another field at the time that he sold this field to Levi, but he doesn't have it anymore because he since sold it to Yehuda. So Levi can go to Yehuda and collect the keren, the principal, the amount of money that he paid for the original field, which was $10,000, but v'eshashvach, if he wants to collect the extra $10,000, he can collect that as well. But that he's only goyvim in a chasim nechayim. That he doesn't have a right to go to Yehuda for. That if Shimon has the money, he can take it from Shimon. If not, he can't take it. So again, what happened? Reuven loaned money to Shimon. Shimon had a piece of property at the time. He sold the piece of property to Levi. Reuven now goes to Shimon and he says, I want my money. He says, I don't have any money. He says, okay, I'm going to Levi. So he goes to Levi, he takes his field. How much was Levi's field worth? $20,000. Originally, when Levi bought it from Shimon, it had been worth $10,000. But he's since been mashpiach the field. He appreciated the value of the field. It's now worth $20,000. Levi gives the $20,000 field over to Reuven. Reuven's happy, he's satisfied, he got what he needed to get. Levi now goes back to Shimon. He's not happy. So he says, Shimon, that field that I paid $10,000 for, which by the way, I put another $10,000 into it. It's a $20,000 field was taken away from me. So he says, Shimon, I want you to give me $20,000. Shimon says, Chavish kan geld. What do you want me to do? The halacha is like this. If Shimon had another piece of property at the time that he sold the field to Levi, that he's since given or sold to Yehuda, so the $10,000, the principal amount of what Levi bought from Shimon, Levi would have a right to go collect from Yehuda. Meaning he's taking it from Shimon's nechasim mishubadim. But the extra $10,000, the shvach, that he won't be able to take from him. That you can only be goyvra from the nechasim b'chayim. But what do you see from this story? You see one thing from this story. There's one punchline that's relative to our story right here. When Reuven went and took the field from Levi, what did he take from Levi? He took the whole $20,000 field. He didn't just take the $10,000. He took the $20,000. Stelzach the frage. If you're going to tell me that the way Shibud works is it's only chal on what's ba'olam, but something that's not ba'olam is never chal shibud. So l'chayra, Reuven only had a right to take from Levi the original $10,000 field. Any shvach, any extra $10,000, Reuven should have had no right to take from Levi. Why not? Because that was not ba'olam at the time that Reuven loaned the money to Shimon. How do you know it wasn't ba'olam? Shimon was the one, Levi was the one that was mashpiach, and he was mashpiach a year later. So it wasn't ba'olam. If it wasn't ba'olam, it's not meshubin. If it's not meshubin, Reuven has no right to take it. So the whole case of shvach, karkois, ketzad, it's a geshmak, a case when you get it. It makes no sense if you don't try. But if you work on it and you think about it, it's actually a nice, beautiful geshmak, a gemara. But in light of the fact that there's a tzad in the gemara, that you can't be meshabit. It doesn't get out to first base because it only starts with Reuven taking away the whole $20,000, getting the Shvach Karkois. The Shvach Karkois was never Meshubas. Let's just see it inside. The Eisol The original Baal Chayv, who's that? Reuven. How is he able to take the Shvach from Levi in the first place? We have a whole halacha. When Levi goes back to Shimon, he can't take the Shvach from Shimon's Mishubadim. He can only take it from his Bnei Chayr. But it suggests that Reuven took the Shvach from Levi. Why was Reuven allowed to take the Shvach? Zok to Gemara, the same teretz. This is a one-size-fits-all teretz to every kasha we had in the sugya. Amani Rameiri, Dama Adamach, the Dovah, Shlei B'Loyim. Okay, you want to make a raya that even though the Chachamim hold Ein Adamach, the Dovah, Shlei B'Loyim, but they hold Adam Mishab, the Dovah, Shlei B'Loyim. Amani Rameiri, maybe we're going according to Rameir, and according to Rameir, Adam Mishabe Davos Loy Balaylam Fashtetzach, because Rameir holds Adam, because Rameir holds Adam Machna Davos Loy Balaylam. So we promised that we were going to get into Cotton Part 3 today, but it got late early. We had to really get into the weeds of the Sugya. So Bezrat Hashem, we'll have to pick it up